This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Merry Christmas and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. We've all seen the headlines about the battle for Mosul and heard about the thousands of refugees in northern Iraq. We know it's a terrible situation, but for even the best-intentioned souls, the saturation of 24-hour news can desensitize us to the plight of the Christians whose lives and homes have been destroyed at the hands of ISIS over the last couple of years. In August of 2014, nearly 60,000 people fled the Christian town of Karakush, just hours before ISIS overran the area. In October, the Kurdish military liberated the city, uncovering a trail of destruction and devastation left behind by the occupiers. Chris Mitchell, Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News and host of Jerusalem Dateline, visited Karakush a few weeks ago and joined Tony on Friday to detail his firsthand assessment of what the returning Christians are up against.
Chris, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you again. And Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. And I mean, you're there in Jerusalem, special place to be at Christmas time, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But you, I mean, you've been traveling around the Middle East. You've been covering that area, not just Israel. But you were profoundly impacted by your recent trip to northern Iraq. Describe for us the devastation that you witnessed touring one of the largest churches in the Middle East.
Yeah, it really did was a profound experience, Tony. I had the opportunity to tour Karakush with Sister Diana, a Dominican nun who just took us through the town. We originally went to their main church called Immaculate Conception, and we saw that ISIS had burned the church for days. They had brought all the pews together and burned them. They had desecrated the altar, the Eucharist. They had destroyed most of the crosses inside the church. Next to the church, there was a courtyard, Tony, and they used that for target practice. And what they had also done, and this is probably one of the most moving things that I saw, is that they had taken all the books from the adjacent convent. They had brought them into the courtyard, and they burned them. And so all that's left there is right now a pile of ashes, sort of reminiscent of maybe what the Nazis did with the Nuremberg book burnings. And throughout the city, as we went from place to place, you could see just a trail of devastation. For example, we went to just some of the streets, and not only had ISIS burned or looted or destroyed many of the homes there, but because of the fight and the battle, because of coalition airstrikes, maybe half a block might be devastated and just rubble because of the airstrikes. We saw writing on the wall that would say, for example, we will crush the infidels, and the Islamic State will expand with the permission of Allah. And in particular, there seemed to be a fanatical hatred for the cross. Wherever we went, for example, we went to monasteries or churches, and every cross seemed to be either removed or destroyed to some extent. It went so far as even in the cemetery where we went there, they had destroyed many of the plaques of the people that had been buried there. They opened some of the graves to loot some of the graves. And just from beginning to end of the places that we saw, it was an assault on Christianity, any Christian symbol. And basically, as a friend of mine had said one day, what's happening to Christians here in the Middle East, it's really a war on Jesus.
Chris, when you look at this and you look at the trail of destruction that was left behind, is there any question in your mind the evil that is driving and fueling ISIS?
No, it's just this fanatical hatred, and you just see from all the evidence in the trail that they left that this is just wickedness to a degree that I had never seen before in my life, and just a profoundly moving experience. We had the opportunity to meet a family, a couple, who had their home had been destroyed in an airstrike. And they actually, and some of these people had left belongings and some of their literally life savings. They had $10,000 in Iraqi dinar that had been destroyed. And ISIS actually came into this family, took their 3-year-old daughter, out of her mother's lap and never to be seen again. Who knows where this three-year-old daughter, perhaps maybe 5 years old now, is. But the wickedness and evil was laid bare for all to see, for those that have the opportunity to go in that town right now.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along with us this afternoon. Chris Mitchell is my guest. He is with CBN News in Jerusalem. He is the Middle East Bureau Chief. We're talking about what's been taking place in northern Iraq with ISIS. And folks, this is really the, in many places, I know we think of Bethlehem, we think of the birthplace of Christianity, that's where Jesus was born. But some of these communities in Iraq are some of the first Christian communities that up until just recently have been continuing until ISIS came in to try to exterminate them. Now, Chris, the good news is that we see, and this is amazing to me, that we see a number of Christians returning to places like Karakush, determined to rebuild. Now, how realistic is it at this point, given that so many homes were destroyed, that so many lives were eliminated? What are the prospects of them rebuilding?
Well, it's a daunting challenge, Tony, and I think there's two things that they are asking for. First, if they come back, they're going to have an assurance that there's going to be a safe place to come back to. Because they don't want another thing like ISIS to come along 1 year, 2 years later. And so that's the first thing they want, some measure and some assurance that they will be secure if they come back. And the other thing they'll have is they're going to need some help. This is a massive reconstruction effort that has to go on in northern Iraq for not only Christian towns, but for this whole area. And that would have to be, government assistance. And I believe there's a bill in Congress to help with that reconstruction. And Christians will have to be part of that help and that aid and give them the support. I would say, Tony, right now, Christianity, as we've noted in the Middle East and especially in northern Iraq, is really in a balance right now because a lot of these peoples, when they go back to see their town, it can be overwhelming and discouraging. And they have to weigh the cost. Do we spend all the effort, time, money to go back and rebuild our town or our home, or do we immigrate to another country? And right now, that's a very difficult question for these people to answer. And I think that's why it's so important and incumbent, first of all, to be praying for these people and also to be helping support them and speaking out on their behalf to what the U.S. government can do to help them in their time of need.
And now, Chris, you can address this from both a spiritual, a religious standpoint, but also from a geopolitical standpoint. Why is it important that these longstanding Christian communities that have been there for literally centuries, all the way back to Jesus' own disciples carrying the message of the gospel to some of these regions, why is it important that they go back and rebuild these communities?
Well, I would think, Tony, first of all, from a spiritual point of view, and that's what Sister Diana had told us, is that they're really the salt and light of that place right now. And so I believe it's important that the witness of Jesus Christ would not be extinguished in that part of the region, and especially in that part of Iraq and that part of the Middle East. And I think that's the first thing, is that their witness needs to remain there. From a geopolitical point of view, I think these are people who are natural allies, who would be more inclined to want a democratic state reinstated there. And I think these would be the people that we would want there to be part of the new Iraq or whatever comes after ISIS. So I think that's another reason why it's important for Christianity to be preserved in that part of the Middle East. And also people, one of the things I was asking, Tony, some of the people that I had talked to, some of the Christian ministries on the front line, including the Sister Diana, what do you need prayer for? And they were telling me, they need prayer that the gospel would go forth. Also that many of these Christians who have had anything but a normal life in the past 2.5 years would have a normal life, but that they would be, as I said, salt and light, and that they would have help to be able to rebuild and restore their lives.
Chris, we just have a couple of minutes left together. I want to transition for just a moment as the Middle East Bureau Chief there for CBN News, located in Jerusalem. Your sense on the atmosphere there in Israel and the broader Middle East with the recent elections here in the United States and the election of Donald Trump as president. What's your sense there on the ground?
My sense is that it's going to be a huge change in the Middle East. I think for the last 8 years we've seen kind of an appeasement in the Middle East. We've had a shift from our traditional allies, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan, towards Iran. So I think people here in Israel, and particularly this government, are looking at the prospect of maybe renegotiating or sort of changing the Iranian nuclear deal to some extent. I think there is over 80% of Israelis, according to a recent poll, that believe that the Trump administration is going to be pro-Israel. I think our allies were maybe heartened by some of the signals they've been hearing from the Trump administration. And I think some of our adversaries, Iran, Russia, the Syrian government, are going to be taking a step back, and I think they're going to be recalculating exactly what a Trump administration means, and I think they're going to see, at least from early indications, that it's not going to be the kind of appeasement we're seeing with the Obama administration, but a much more robust and standing tall, as it were, administration in the Middle East. And I think that bodes well for the region. There obviously will be conflicts, I would assure, but I think the appeasement that we've seen in the last 8 years has left the Middle East in a far more difficult and dangerous place.
It has. It is a mess, and it is going to take a lot, I think, to get it straightened out, if that can be done. It's always been a complex place, but it's even more so now. Chris Mitchell, thanks so much for joining us today. Great to talk with you.
Great to talk with you, Tony, and Merry Christmas to you and everybody that's listening right now.
You can find out more about the plight of Christians in Iraq, as well as Chris Mitchell, when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at the persecuted church around the world and how you can help. You won't want to miss this.
This Christmas, give with a purpose, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. Here at Family Research Council, our mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Our work ahead includes ensuring that a conservative Supreme Court justice will be selected to repeal and replace Obamacare and do further family values policy in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or frc.org/give to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/give. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. As you know, persecution of Christians is not isolated to the Middle East because, well, wherever there are Christians, there will be those who hate Christians. But some regions of the world are more intolerant and evil than others. Thankfully, there are watchdog organizations committed to closely monitoring this activity so that we can pray for them and take action. One of the most respected groups educating folks on worldwide persecution is Open Doors USA. And Tony was joined by their president, David Curry, on Friday.
David, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me, Tony. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Well, we just heard from Chris Mitchell at CBN News as he gave his firsthand account of the destruction by ISIS in Iraq. It isn't surprising that Iraq is ranked the second most extreme country for persecution on your 2016 World Watch list. What were some of the other countries that topped the list in terms of persecution of Christians?
Well, you have those kinds of countries like Iraq where the driver is Muslim extremism, and you're going to see those kinds of issues at play in Syria, obviously, which has a very similar footprint, although it has the dynamic of the civil war. Syria is one of those areas we're very concerned about. Actually speaking, when you talk about the strength of the Christian church, we feel like the Syrian church is really rebounding in the important spiritual areas. It's reaching out to help the others affected by the civil war and by the mass exodus of Christians in the Middle East. And the Lebanese church is a big part of that. So there are silver linings in the sense of what God is doing behind the scenes in Syria. In Iraq, you're right, it's much more grave, not clear how the church and the move of Christ is going to bounce back as steady there, but we know there's a lot of believers who want to go back home, and we think that's a good sign because we think that Christians need to be part of salt and light in the Middle East. So you have those kinds of countries, Tony, on the Middle East. The other on the World Watch List, the other countries that I think are of particular interest and that we want to highlight here coming forward in the new year when we release our new World Watch List are countries that maybe aren't as high on the list, but that we do a heavy amount of trade with, that we consider to be our partners here in the United States, countries like China, like India, where there's a massive rise of persecution of Christians in India, and we're doing billions of dollars of business with them. And it needs to be on the radar of this next administration. Countries like Uzbekistan does a huge cotton industry, forced labor of Christians and others in that country in order to keep those prices low, and companies like Target and so forth are doing businesses with these kinds of countries who are persecuting Christians on a massive level. So there are those kinds of issues too, which are embedded in the World Watch List if people want to look close enough and see those details.
So I know you're still working on it. We're a month or so away from the new watch list, but any major changes you're anticipating in the 2017 watch list?
Well, yeah, what we've done this year that I think will be a surprise to people is that we're really trying to give the most accurate estimate on how many people live under persecution, how many Christians. It's very difficult for researchers to give you an accurate number. We're going to come up with a number this year. We have all of our best researchers working on it, which will frame this issue in numbers of scale. And I'm doing a little bit of a tease here because I'm not going to tell you how many believers there are, but I will tell you that for many years we said there were 100 million Christians living under persecution, and people were kind of like, really? Well, guess what? The number will be higher than that, I guarantee you. And I think when people see the number and the statistic of how many Christians are living under persecution, there's going to be a discussion about what does it mean that in our world that so many Christians are living in harassment for their faith. It's not just that we say we want Christianity in the words of Jesus to be available and legally available to everybody everywhere, but that we want people to have, because in many places, you know, the Constitution in North Korea says that there's freedom of religion, but practically speaking, of course, there is no freedom.
Right.
So we want to go beyond just whether or not it's legal, but whether people have the right and the freedom in safety to choose their own faith in Jesus, and to read the words of Jesus in every country, and to study it and decide for themselves what they believe about who he said he was. That's fundamental to what Open Doors is about, and really it's the story of the World Watch List.
Well, that's one of the things I love about Open Doors, is that you seek to educate believers on all aspects of Christian persecution, including the theology of persecution. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:26 tells us that we are one body. When one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member is lifted up, we all rejoice. Very quickly, as we're about to run out of time here, what kind of resources does Open Doors have to help us be intentional in our prayer for the persecuted and deepen our concern for them as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ?
Well, there are so many things. For those people who like the details and the research, we always want to give in-depth research, country profiles for people. But for most of us, the stories, getting to know the people that are affected. So we have videos that people can download, show in church and small group. Just so many resources on our website, opendoorsusa.org. We want the Church of Jesus Christ, people who are called by His name, to be in love with each other, to live that calling of Philippians, to reach out and to love each other as if we were brothers and sisters.
Well, Dr. David Curry, as always, great to talk with you. I appreciate greatly the work that you do in Open Doors USA, and we look forward to working with you in 2017 to help bring greater awareness, but also to bring help to those persecuted believers around the world. Thanks so much for being with us, and have a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. Same to you.
Don't go away. We'll be back with a look at some Arab believers in Bethlehem. That's coming up on the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
From the ruling to uphold Obamacare's individual mandate, to the ruling to redefine marriage, to the ruling that allows the government to seize a citizen's home, these are the many important decisions that the United States Supreme Court has made recently. The Supreme Court's decision affects all of us, and it decides about 70 cases every year. Join Family Research Council Action as we work to ensure the confirmation of Supreme Court justices who will uphold the Constitution. Become a member today at frcaction.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. James 1, 2 through 3 comes to mind when I think of our next guest and his family. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Pastor Stephen Curry is the founding pastor of Calvary Church in Jerusalem and serves on the pastoral team at First Baptist Church of Bethlehem, where his father serves as senior pastor. As Bible-believing Arabs, they have faced intense persecution over the years, watching family and friends martyred and their church bombed at least 14 times. Yet their resilience and optimism shine through as they faithfully continue their ministry in the Holy Land. Stephen joined Tony on Friday to share just a few of the stories of God's faithfulness to his family.
Stephen, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you, and all those that are listening. We are just so grateful for the church in America, for the believers in America. You guys are a symbol of hope for us, the persecuted church. Our battles are different, but the results, we overcome through the blood of the Lamb. And I am just so happy, so grateful for what God is doing through the American people. I always tell people this, Tony, and I might have shared this on the radio with you before. You go to any hotel, any travel agency, any souvenir shop, any simple restaurant in Israel, both Jewish and Arab side, you tell them what's the best kind of tour, person or nationality you'd like to have in your place. They'll say the American people. And it's because they say there's love, there's charity, they're generous, they have a sweet heart and a polite heart. These things go a long way and they make a difference when you think about the American people and your influence on Israel and the Middle East.
Well, and I think it goes back to the kind of the Western civilization that all began there on the barren hills of Bethlehem with the birth of Jesus Christ, which has shaped, really, it's in the American DNA that we do have a love for people because Christ had a love for us, God had a love for us in sending Jesus to die for our sins as a gift. And of course, we're celebrating that gift of that baby. You've stood there many times overlooking the valleys and the hills of Bethlehem where Jesus was born. What does celebrating Christmas look like there in your churches, both your dad's church in Bethlehem and yours there in Jerusalem?
You know, Tony, that's, what a beautiful question. And God has blessed us with 12 active ministries in the land of Israel. 6 are churches and 6 of the other 6 are outreach programs. And we are just humbled because when we stand in the middle of the city of Bethlehem or in the middle of Jerusalem, if you go back to 2,000 years ago, God chose the most simple city. Bethlehem was a simple town. He called it House of Bread, with Bethlehem, which means House of Bread, which through it, God feeds the rest of the world physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And then he chooses a small village attached to the city of Bethlehem, which is called the Shepherd's Fields. And he chooses the shepherds to give them the first news right along the same time he passes it along to the wise men coming from the Far East. But the beauty about this is that he chose the lowest of the lowest of the, during those days, a profession was a shepherd, was the lowest esteemed, and God chose those lowest to do that. And today we stand in the middle of the Christmas holidays. And remember that regardless how low and how far away you feel from God, if you are just willing to open up your heart and just listen to him, God will reach down and he will bring you back to him. And what better time to reconnect with God during the Christmas holiday, to reconnect with Christ. And in the celebrations this year, we are making sure that they don't, that nobody turns Christmas into a political slogan. And we've seen that happen in the last 3-4 Christmases. And if you remember, you even covered the story where we did that big billboard, standing, you know, a big billboard in the city of Bethlehem. And it's a joyful time, but it's also a time to be standing strong, to be sure that we don't lose identity. This Christmas belongs to Jesus Christ. But it's a joyful time because the world is reminded of Jesus, and people in Bethlehem, Muslims and Christians, are reminded this holiday is for Jesus Christ.
Now, most folks don't realize, Stephen, that the population in Bethlehem now, very, very small population of Christians, less than 10% are Christian there in Bethlehem. A difficult place, as we talked about, your father's church bombed over a dozen times. How can Christians here in the United States pray for believers there in Bethlehem and the Middle East?
You know, the way believers can pray for Bethlehem and Jerusalem and the surrounding ministries that we serve is, one, pray for more boldness in our lives, that we can continue doing what we do without any fear, without any obstacles, or without or with overcoming. We're just always praying for God to put people on our path, Brother Tony, that can help us stand in the gap. Because being in an Arab ministry, and also in a mixed Israeli-Arab ministry, who loves God, stands with God's promises for Israel and the Old Testament, the New Testament, it puts us in a difficult position where we alienate ourselves from many, many other people in Israel, even Christians around the world. We are asking Christians, besides prayer, is to stand in the gap for our work so that we can continue to do what we do. And that's what people are doing, is praying for boldness, courage, for favor, and we're praying for people, for God to put people in our path.
That sounds just like
call them that people that stand in the gap.
That sounds just like the Apostle Paul in what he asked for as well in Ephesians chapter 6. Stephen, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to wish you and your mom and dad a wonderful Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Tony. Merry Christmas to everyone. God bless you guys. Thank you.
If you missed any of today's program, you can find a link to it by heading over to tonyperkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.